was the rot and the decay and the moral depravity from within that caused the great empire to collapse inwardly. And every nation that has dared to defy the Almighty God and say, we don't care what your word says. We are going to live the way we want to. If it feels good, do it. And every nation that has done that has gone into decline and have ceased to exist.
Pastor and inspirational Bible teacher Owen Duncan, speaking of the need to enshrine the definition of marriage into North Carolina Constitution on this edition of the Liberty Pulpit. We're glad you can join us as we come to you once again from the fellowship of the Liberty Baptist Church in Ellenboro, North Carolina, proclaiming and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. On May the 8th of 2012, the citizens of North Carolina will have the opportunity to vote to amend the state constitution to include the definition of marriage as only between one man and one woman. Why is such an amendment necessary? Because once this definition is enshrined in the constitution, no judge can change or deny it. We are living in a time when absolutes are considered relics of the past. As a nation, we have rejected God's standards and guidelines in the matter of homosexuality. Since the 1960s, we have embarked on a moral and spiritual downward spiral following the same destructive path that other civilizations have trod before us. And every society that endorsed unrestrained sexuality had a short lifespan. America is headed for the same fate. On this edition of the Liberty Pulpit, Pastor Owen Duncan provides us with the biblical perspective on homosexuality and contrasts it with the agenda and the deception of the homosexual community. He speaks of their determination to recruit more adherents to their lifestyle, since reproducing themselves cannot overcome God's natural laws of procreation. Pastor Duncan describes the deceptions of homosexuality, and he dispels the myths. He confirms the danger and the damages inflicted on body, mind, emotion, and spirit when embracing this lifestyle. Society's laws may have changed, but God's moral laws have not. The Bible is clear. God's word declares homosexuality a sin, and ultimately, this or any other deliberate sin takes its toll on a person and on a nation. As Pastor Duncan reviews Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 21, he makes clear that while we as Christians must hate the sin, we must, without fail, love the sinner. He is quick to remind us that God did exactly that when he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. He hated my sin, but he loved me that much. Let's join Owen Duncan as he opens his heart and the Word of God.
Part of my responsibility and my calling before God is not only to be your under shepherd and to feed you, to care for you and watch over your souls. Part of my responsibility is to be a watchman on the wall. And if I fail in that, one day I'll have to give an accounting of that before God. Because of that, on May the 8th, you have the opportunity to vote for the marriage amendment to the North Carolina State Constitution. And I urge you to do so. And I'm going to give you some good reasons why. This morning, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we'll begin with verse number 21. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse number 21. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. The serial killer Jeff Dahmer was interviewed by Stone Phillips for Dateline NBC a few years back. And he said that he had believed, that humanity was on earth by purely natural causes and death ended everything. And here's what he said. He said, if there's no God, why should I change my behavior? Why shouldn't I kill and cannibalize? So he was a serial killer of 17 people. In 1957, the Everly Brothers, anybody old enough to remember them, had a song, Wake Up, Little Susie, Wake Up. We've both been sound asleep. Wake up, Little Susie, and weep. You remember that? One of the lines in the song says this, that we are in shame. We have brought shame. Our reputation is shot. Why was their reputation shot in 1957? Because they were out beyond the curfew time without a chaperone. Man, what a change, a far cry from the explicit sexuality that is flowing to today's generation from the entertainment media, and our homes, our movies, and everywhere we go are being flooded with it. The internet, moral absolutes are considered a thing in the relic of the past. I think of the Gideon that was replacing worn-out Bibles in a hotel, and someone had glued a label inside one of the Bibles, and it was printed by a known atheistic organization, and here's what it said, warning: thinking people have determined this book is dangerous to mental and physical health of everyone. You see, it's a reflection that as a nation, we have rejected God's standards and guidelines in the matter of homosexuality. Now, let me say this right at the very outset. I'm not preaching that we ought to hate homosexuals. I want you to understand this. If you cannot love those that are in the gay lifestyle, you need to find yourself at this altar at the end of this service and repent and get right with God. Understand that? Now, what I am saying is that you can hate the sin and still love the sinner. And that's, after all, isn't that what God does for us? Isn't that what He did? He hated the sin in my life enough to give His own Son to die on the cross of Calvary for me. He loved me, but He hated my sin. And that's what I'm sharing with you this morning. I want you to understand, and I don't do this normally, but I told Howie, I said, you be sure that it's announced with the youth. Because young people, I want you to listen to me. And I want you to know this much. And this is nothing to boast or brag about. But I would lay down, your pastor will lay down his educational credentials, and I'm not saying this in any way, in any sense at all. I've been down the academic route. I have a three-year program beyond the baccalaureate degree in college, so I know what I'm talking about, and what I'm going to share with you is not coming from any worldly or foolish standpoint. But whenever we get so educated that we're beyond the Bible, we've been educated beyond our intelligence. And I want you to understand that. As a nation, we have rejected God's standards and guidelines. Since the 1960s, we have been spinning downward on a downward spiral, morally and spiritually. And we're following the same destructive path that other civilizations have trodden history. And history has shown, listen carefully, that any society that sanctions unrestrained sexuality has a short lifespan. Plutarch, the first century Greek moralist, said this. He saw libertinism as to be the third and next to the last stage in the lifestyle of a free republic before its final descent into tyranny. And I want to ask you this. Where are we as a nation? Edward Gibbon, who wrote the book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, listed depravity, not the enemies from without that caused the great Roman Empire to fall, but it was the rot and the decay and the moral depravity from within that caused the great empire to collapse inwardly. And every nation that has dared to defy the Almighty God and say, we don't care what your word says, we are going to live the way we want to. If it feels good, do it. And every nation that has done that has gone into decline and have ceased to exist. We're now reaping the sinful seeds that have been sown in our nation. Do I need to run a list? Rampant divorce and adultery, teen pregnancies at an all-time high, rape and the continual rise of child molestation, organized pedophilia in our nation, 50 million unborn babies that have been butchered in their mother's womb, widespread prostitution and pornography, leaping and growing, nearly 60 varieties of known sexually transmitted diseases in America today, feminine lesbianism on the rise, militant homosexuality. I could go on and on and on. Now I want to give you this morning, and please listen carefully. I want to give you a biblical perspective on homosexuality. I want to give you a biblical perspective. I want us, first of all, to take a look at the determined agenda of the homosexual community. And I'm going to tell you something. Young people, you're not hearing this stuff. You won't hear it. Likely as not, you won't hear it in the educational system. You certainly won't see it in the media. Let me give you some of their agenda and what they're determined to do. First of all, in no particular order, they are seeking to repeal laws where homosexuality is prohibited and have declared them unconstitutional. Now, listen. Did you know that as late as 1961, every single state, not without a single exception, every single state in the United States had laws against homosexuality? Did you know that, young people? You probably didn't realize that. I was 20 years old in 1961. I know I'm getting old. I was a young man. Every state in the Union had laws prohibiting homosexuality. By 1980, 21 states had decriminalized sodomy. By 1994, 27 states. In 25 years, one-fourth of a century, we have descended into the depths of defying Almighty God, and we wonder where we are as a nation. In Canada, because it's becoming illegal to condemn, criticize, or oppose the gay movement in any form or fashion. And the United States is headed the same way. And what got the snowball moving in the United States that really brought gays out of the closet was the Stonewall Riot of 1969. Now, you've got to understand a little bit of our nation's history. Back in the 1960s, I heard Percy Ray, the old preacher from Mississippi, say years ago that there was an invasion of demons when the Beatles came over in the early 60s. And I can't argue with him at all because, you see, our young people went nuts or wacko. Fruit Loops and Looney Tunes in the 60s, that's called the hippie movement. They went out, you know, somebody said a hippie man was a person who looked like Tarzan, walked like Jane, and smelled like cheetah. But they went nuts. They went nuts in the 60s. They flew the coop. The man that led me to Jesus back in the 60s had a son, a teenager, that went nuts on, went out there. And, the decade of the 60s was known for lawlessness, drug abuse, free sex, free love. If it felt good, do it. That was the whole motto of the 1960s. Demonstrations, drugs, lawlessness. In 1969, in June of 69, the police raided the Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village. A riot broke out and led to the first gay power meeting on July the 9th, 1969, when gays came out of the closet. It's now considered Gay Power Day. So they're seeking to repeal laws. Secondly, on their agenda, they seek the privileges by law, such as marriage. Which, that's a misnomer. It's like grape nuts. It's not grapes and it's not nuts. There's no marriage between two women and two men. I'm just telling you the truth. foster parents and adoption, they want laws for this. And these are important because, you see, they can't reproduce. They have to recruit. A third piece of agenda on there that they're determined to get is to seek to pass laws that give special privileges that others don't have. For example, landlords and employers that be forced to hire them, no matter what your conviction about these matters are. I want to share this with you. This is an article entitled Warning to the Homophobes, which appeared in the September 1st, 1987 issue of the nation's largest homosexual publication. Listen to it now. It's called The Advocate. Steve Warren condemns Christianity as mean-spirited, narrow-minded, and self-righteous. And he warns that homosexuals will force Christians to recant everything they believe about sexuality and affirm their lifestyle. And let me summarize what he warns. Homosexuality will be spoken of in your churches as honorable. You can either let us marry people of the same sex or abolish marriage. You will be expected to perform ceremonies that bless homosexuality. I will go to jail or I will die first. You will instruct your young people in homosexual behavior and allow them to date, this man said, attend church functions, and openly display affection. He said those who object will be sternly rebuked or humiliated if they do not renounce their attitudes and conform. He said this. Now listen, this is this man writing in a homosexual magazine, said that we will remove a number of passages from the Bible and rewrite others that give preferential treatment to marriage and condemn homosexuality. You know what Billy Sunday, the old-time evangelist, said years ago? Billy Sunday said, if a man comes walking down the street swinging his fist and swinging his fist, and that man says, this is my fist, I have a right to swing it where I want to. And Billy Sunday said, if his fist hits my nose, his personal rights end where my nose begins. Whether it's the Boy Scouts or the church, people have a right to assemble and give moral instruction without interference or intimidation or injury from homosexuals or any others. But I want you to know they're organized and they're militant. You don't have to believe that. You go to some of our largest cities and you'll find that to be true. Let me share some of their agenda with you, some more of it. I've just touched the surface. They seek open and full rights in the military. They seek the implementation of homosexual curriculum at all levels of education. They seek the lowering of the age of consent to homosexual and heterosexual sex. They seek the legalization of homosexual marriages. They seek access to all programs of the Boy Scouts of America. Did you know there's been an ongoing battle? No wonder they won't to invade the Boy Scouts. They want to send the chicken hawks. You know what the chicken hawks are? Those are those pedophiles who prey and seek out young boys. I'm sharing stuff. Man, I've done some heavy reading and studying in this thing. And I want you to know, they want the inclusion of sex change operations under a universal health care plan. Is it any wonder that our present president supports the gay movement in his health care plan? And I would remind you, there is a Republican who was a governor of the state of Massachusetts who the national health care plan under Obama is patterned by, and his initials are Romney. And I'm not telling you who you can or should and should not vote for. I'm just telling you the truth. These are facts. This is not made up stuff. That's some of the determined agenda of the homosexual community. But I want to share with you now the deceptions of homosexuality. Listen to what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, in this age, in this country, public sentiment is everything. With it, nothing can fail. Against it, nothing can succeed. That's what President Lincoln said. He said, whoever molds public sentiment goes deeper than he who enacts statutes or pronounces judicial decisions. Let me give you some myths coming from the homosexual community. No particular order. Myth number one, homosexuality is illustrative of normal behavior. That's a myth. I'm going to tell you something. Homosexuality is abnormal behavior. You don't need to go to the university and study physical anatomy to understand that homosexuality, lesbianism, is abnormal behavior. It is not normal, it is not natural behavior because the Creator God says so. I shared with you Romans chapter 1. We'll get to that in a moment. Any place that homosexuality is mentioned in the Scriptures, such as Judges 19, such as the book of Genesis in Sodom and Gomorrah, everywhere it's mentioned, the book of Jude, 1 Peter, when homosexuality is mentioned in the Bible, it's always in negative terms. It is interesting to note also that in 1963, the New York Academy of Medicine Committee on Public Health, listen to this, reported that homosexuality is indeed an illness. The homosexual is an emotionally disturbed individual who has not acquired the normal capacity to develop satisfying heterosexual relations. That's what the New York Academy of Medicine Committee on Public Health reported. A second myth, myth number two, homosexuality is irreversible. This is a most destructive deception because, you see, it leads to the giving up of all hope. And you know what the result is? Listen, read those people who have studied the homosexual community. The result, deep depression. One guy wrote a book called The Unhappy Gays. Suicide, alcoholic and drug abuse. Let me share with you some statistics from studies. Homosexuals are 25 times more likely to commit suicide than the average citizen. That's a fact. You meet a fact in the middle of the road. I'm not preaching hate. I'm just telling you the truth. You either accept the truth or not. You meet a fact in the middle of the road, all you can do is tip your hat to it and acknowledge a fact is a fact is a fact. Homosexuals are 3 times more likely to abuse alcohol and drugs. The truth is, and here is the truth, that homosexuals can change, and many have. Dr. Joseph Nicholas has published material on homosexual change and has done extensive counseling with them with very successful results. In the 1970 Kinsey Institute report noted that 84% of gays shifted or changed their sexual orientation at least once. In 1981, Bell, Weinberg, and Hammersmith also reported similar figures. Swartz and Masters in the 1984 Masters and Johnson Institute report revealed an almost 80% success rate of homosexuals changing back to heterosexuality. And multitudes have been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. One example that stands out is James Dobson's wonderful Focus on the Family Institute. In fact, he has a staff member that was a former homosexual that is now delivered from the bondage of that sin, been set free, has a wife and children and family, and he heads up that part of the organization of Focus on the Family, that if you know someone that is in the gay lifestyle, he can help them get out and get straight with Jesus Christ. Let me share with you a third myth. Third myth. Homosexuality is inherited. Yeah, you know that? Yeah, they say that. You hear the common claim. God made me gay. You hear them say, I can't help the way I am. It's not my fault. Let me share some facts with you. A 1990 study said that 35% of the homosexuals surveyed said that they were born that way. Now, if 2/3 of them are saying that we are not born that way, then why on earth should I believe it? Make sense? 2/3 of them don't even believe it. And yet they want to make us believe it. Hang in with me. Homosexual site research by Simon LaVey, who was a neuroscientist at the Salk Institute, who examined, I think, about 30-something cadavers. And his conclusion was that the brains of The homosexuals were different from the brains of those who weren't. Well, investigators checked behind his research. And you know what their finding was? He's a crock. He's full of baloney. They declared his research to be not credible. And LaVey later on admitted that he did not know which sexual preference the cadaver he was working on was. He didn't know. And yet he wrote all of this information. And also, let me ask you this. If a homosexual's genetics are why he is that way, then why in the world do we have identical twins? I'm talking about not fraternal twins. You know the difference. Identical twins. Why aren't identical twin brothers homosexual just like one is? Why aren't they both? If one is, why aren't both of them that way? If the genes and the chromosomes all line up, why aren't they both the same? It doesn't take rocket science to figure out the fallacy of some of this stuff. Masters and Johnson, authorities in sexual studies, said that it is, listen, I'm going to quote you from them, everybody in the medicine field, psychological field, they go to Masters and Johnson. You've heard that name, I'm sure. Said that it is of vital importance that all professionals in the mental health field keep in mind that homosexuality, according to them, is a learned preference. The genetic theory of homosexuality has been generally discarded today, end of quote. W.B. Pomeroy, a researcher, made this statement, I have come to the conclusion that homosexuality is largely a matter of conditioning. This means that it is not inherited but learned. On July 15, 1993, the National Public Radio reported a new study in Science magazine that a gay gene was discovered by researcher Dean Hamer. Now, hang on. However, almost 2 years later, on June 25th, 1995, reports confirmed by Science magazine that Hamer was under investigation by the Office of Research Integrity at the Department of Health and Human Services because he may have selectively reported his data. In other words, it was not accurate. Needless to say, there was no fanfare about this news on the National Public Radio. We're in a battle for the mind. Dr. John Money is a leading sex researcher at Johns Hopkins University. He reported this, I quote, no chromosomal differences have been found between homosexual subjects and heterosexual ones. John DeSecco is the editor of the Journal of Homosexuality. He is part of the gay community. And he even admits, and I quote, the idea that people are born into one type of sexual behavior is foolish. Dr. James McCary pointed out in his book, Sexual Myths and Fallacies, quote, neither present-day tests, microscopic or clinical examinations have revealed any physical differences between heterosexual and homosexual individuals. I'm telling you something. You don't hear this kind of stuff in the average church. You got a different and a strange pastor. But I'm going to tell you something. God has called me to be a watchman on the wall. And young people, this is not the typical expository message from the Bible, but this is biblical truth, that this is truth that you need to be aware of and need to know. God's Word has declared this to be a sin. And I'm just sharing some facts with you. Another myth from the homosexual community is that 10% of the public out there are homosexuals. That's another crock. Researchers at the Battelle Human Affairs Research Centers in Seattle, Washington, found that 1.1% might be homosexual. Now, what is the damage from homosexuality? I want you to listen. Homosexuality damages lesbianism, damages the body physically, mentally, emotionally, and most of all spiritually. A report by Ralph Kasman entitled Homosexuality, a Public Health Problem, in his research of 5 years, 5 years of research, he said the average age of a homosexual who dies with AIDS is 39. Now hang on. But he also said the average age of a homosexual who dies above all other causes is 41. The study, which took 5 years, concluded that homosexual activity reduces a lifespan by 30 years. I want you to think about that. Are there exceptions? Yeah, there are exceptions out there. But this is the averages. Here's the damage from homosexuality. Suicide is epidemic. Drug abuse is 3 times higher. They're far more likely to contract an STD. 70 to 80% of homosexuals have contracted an STD, according to studies. During the first decade, listen to this. During the first 10 years, the first decade, when gay rights laws were enacted in San Francisco, California, did you know that venereal disease leaped 22 times above the national average? Did you know that? That's a fact. Just tip your hat to it. Hepatitis A in San Francisco in that same period increased 100%. Hepatitis B increased 300%. Amoebic colon infections increased by 2,500%. Dr. Kenz's study revealed that the average number of partners in a lifespan for one single gay is 1,000. The left-leaning, left-wing newspaper, The Village Voice, said it's 1,600. So we've seen the agenda, the deceptions, the damage, but I want you to see the dangers of the homosexual community. Let me tell you, you know what the biggest danger is? Hang on to your seatbelts. It is your children, my grandbabies. In a recent gay pride march in New York City, NAMBLA, North American Man Boy Love Association. Have you heard about it? If you haven't heard about it, you need to. Their motto, the motto of NAMBLA, is sex before eight or else it's too late. Passed out leaflets under the banner in that parade, Man Boy Love is Beautiful. The militant gay activist Michael Swift proclaimed, here's his quote, "We shall sodomize your sons. Our only gods are handsome young men." Chicken hawks are pedophiles that hunt down children, and they are hunting for children just like yours. They will apply for jobs at schools, at camps, at YMCAs, at Boy Scouts, at Big Brothers, and other places where there are children. In the March 26, 92 issue of the Sentinel, a San Francisco gay publication, pedophilia was defended. The editorial stated, quote, "The love between man and boy is the foundation of homosexuality." That's their quote. God's word is crystal clear. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by God for this sin. I remember my trip to the Holy Land years ago as we approached the Dead Sea. And the guide said, "I want you to look." And as far as you could see in 360 degrees all the way around you, it was flat, level, as desolate. The Sahara Desert was not any more desolate. And all you could see was lava rocks. You know what lava is, don't you? It's stuff that's been burned. Just lava rocks as far as you could see in any direction on the shores of the Dead Sea. And the guide said this, and I've never forgotten it. He said, "This is the location where the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were." You say, why doesn't God continue to do it? He did it as an example to let us know about the sin of homosexuality. Judges 19 is a despicable account of a decadent nation that had defied God, God's own people. And you can read that account. But I want listen to the sentence of God in Leviticus 20, Verse 13. This is the word of God I'm sharing. If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with the woman, both of them have committed an abomination. That's what God says. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. That was under the old ceremonial laws that God had given them. But I'm going to tell you, the ceremonial laws have passed, but God's moral laws haven't. Let me show you, get your Bibles and look at Romans chapter 1. Here are the steps into depravity. Romans chapter 1. First step, darkness. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You start getting your heart darkened. The Bible says in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. First step, darkness. Second step, deception. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Step number 3, distortion. Look at verse 23. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Drop it down, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Men will not only deny God's truth, but they'll also distort it to prove their own point, have their own way, and lead others astray. Peter put it this way in 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Did you know there are 250 pastors and ministers in the state of North Carolina that's coming out in opposition to the marriage amendment coming up May 8th? May God have mercy on us. Next step, dishonoring the body. Look at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The Greek word for dishonor means to treat with contempt as something vile or worthless, to abuse, to treat roughly, to mistreat. Then the next step is defilement. Look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Those who are bent upon perversion are given up or given over to the destructiveness of that perversion. Sin takes its toll on a person. Now, I've shared the truth with you this morning. Let me say this, and I'll say it again. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. Listen, I'm going to share with you, we had a member in this church fellowship who had been practicing an open lifestyle of homosexuality. That member was gloriously delivered and converted to Jesus Christ and is now married and happily married and doing well. God is a God of mercy and a God of grace. But let me tell you something, young people. Don't let the enemy starts sinking its tentacles in you, because when he gets his grip on you, only the power of God can deliver you from that. You can cross a line. Understand this. You can cross a line in which God says, I'm not going to forever be insulted by your rejection of truth. And he turns you over to a reprobate mind, that you'll believe that lie for the truth. Let me say this also. If you know someone that is in this lifestyle, and you say, dear God, I've been guilty of hatred, I've been guilty of ugliness and mistreatment toward that person, I'm going to ask you this morning to find a place down here and ask God to forgive you for that. Are you with me? And if you know someone and you say, I want to see that person saved, I want to see that person come to know Jesus, I want to see them delivered from this bondage, come down here and find a place to intercede before Almighty God on their behalf. Come down and get hold of the horns of the altar of God and plead for that person that God delivered them. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. We've been sold down the river. In 1961, every state in this nation had laws against it. Tell me, where have we fallen? Where are the watchmen that were supposed to be on the walls? Warning society. This is the word of God. Walk ye in it. And if you do not walk in it, you will pay a price. And we're paying that price. Pray that God will protect and deliver your children and grandbabies from this evil, this wickedness. Anybody come along and tell you that it's natural and normal? I've already shared that with you. They're lying to you, young people. It is an aberrant. It is a perversion. It is abnormal. It is not from God. God's design for you is that He leads you to the right partner of the opposite sex to be committed to through thick and thin, health and sickness, wealth and poverty, toughness and good times for the rest of your life together until death separates you. And I'm going to tell you, that is the only way you're going to find real happiness in life. See, our precious innocent children are growing up and they're being taught through the media, the things they watch on television, the internet, and even at school in some instances. They're being taught. It's just a matter of choice, a natural lifestyle. And so they experiment as kids. We've all been down through adolescence, or even us old ugly folks, amen? We know what it's like to experiment and to do those things that are not right. And we need to, somehow or other, our society needs to wake up that we're on a toboggan slide to hell in this country, and only God can change it. That's why we're meeting at Crestview tonight to pray for revival. Pray that God will revive this county, this country. Pray that God will pour His Holy Spirit out. We want to see the enemy on the run. We want to see God lifted up and God rise up and all of His enemies be scattered in this place. And that's more than just normal church and going through some type of ritual that's religious. It's more than a religious social club with steeples on it. It's churches who are baptized in God's Holy Spirit and love and know what it's like to be under the blood of Jesus Christ and stand on His Word and see God make a difference. Pray for our county. Pray for our church. Pray for our churches. Pray for our pastors that God will raise them up to be prophets and to be watchmen on the walls. It's time for the church to wake up. What's really important in life? Just to be mild-mannered and go along with everybody, and the whole world dies and goes to hell in a handbasket. We need some people that'll stand up and go against the flow. Any old dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live fish to go against the current and stand up and be counted for God. And that's what God expects us to be, church people. Deacons, Sunday school teachers, that's what God is looking for. Tired of the wimps and weenies that won't stand. You don't have to be mean or ugly, but having done everything, at least stand. Stand for something or you'll fall for anything, and the community will fall with you. Your families will fall with you. Dear God, revive your people. Revive your church. Light a fire in our bosom. If you're here today and you're lost, Jesus loves you. He died to redeem you. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. He loves you. Come and be saved today. Is there a need in your life and you haven't yet been obedient this day? Then come to the altar.